The Lord has amazingly blessed me in my life, and the group that you just saw singing to a great extent, how the Lord has blessed me. Of course, there were a few spares in there. I don't think Keith and Barb claim all of them, but it's good to see a majority of Faith Missionary Baptist Church here for the conference. We're thankful for that. God has incredibly blessed, and it just humbles me. Thankful to be serving the Lord with Faith Missionary Baptist Church and the good folks thereof. Thankful to follow a good man in Brother J.R. Bourne. It's nice to follow a fella that you agree with, and it makes it a lot easier. And I want to thank this church for hosting this amazing event and the blessing that you all are to us, the provision that you have so graciously opened your hearts and your wallets to provide for us. We thank you for that. Would ask that you'd be praying for my wife's family. She would normally have been here with me. Monday morning, we got news that my wife's grandmother passed away, and she is there with them at this time. And would ask that you'd pray for them. I would also ask that you pray for Grace Baptist Church of Fairborn, the church that I was the pastor of for 6 years before the Lord brought me to Traverse. They called a fellow after I left, and now because of health reasons, he is not able to continue, and called me last week and said that he has resigned. And Grace Baptist Church of Fairborn is now looking for a preacher, a pastor. And I believe they want a pastor, not a preacher. And they need a pastor. And if you all know of someone that I could recommend, someone looking to pastor a church, let me know. I'll pass that name along to the folks that are searching there at Grace Baptist Church of Fairborn. The message this morning is a message that flows out of an amazing group of people that we have at Faith in Traverse City, and they ask questions. And I don't know about you preachers, but you've been around the thing long enough, you kind of have a pat answer for a lot of questions. And then you get a wide-eyed teenager to look back at you and say, well then, if that, what about this? And you say, I'll have to get back to you on that. I love it. I love it. We get our pat answers all lined out there, and we can answer it without even thinking, and then they say one little sentence, and you go, I think I better rethink this a little longer and get back to you on the rest of this answer. So, I'd like to speak this morning on the gospel of Christ. I leaned over to Brother Kelly and I said, Brother Keller better quit preaching my message. So this is part two of that. Brother Randy Titus keeps watch of a clock, and you take note, brother, what time I started. Brother Randy left a calendar on the pulpit for me one time for me to keep my time rather than a stopwatch. So I we'll get you done and eating lunch here real soon. Before we start, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this opportunity to be here and for the wonderful provision of this assembly. Open their hearts and their doors and their resources and share them with us. We pray that you'd bless them. But now above all things, brother or Father, we pray that you would cause a holy hush to come across us, and that we would see you high and lifted up, and that Jesus Christ would be honored. We'd ask it in his name. Amen. For a starting point, I'd ask you to open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 1, and of course, verse 16. I appreciate the messages that I've heard and love the brethren that have preached them, and I love the way that God works things together and causes them to flow together like they have. And I look at our responsibility to go, and it's definite. I mean, we have a responsibility to go. What I get concerned about sometimes is I'm afraid sometimes we use the language of the humanist or the Arminian to dangle a carrot in front of sinners and turn the salvation of Christ into something that's altogether about them and for them. And the language that we use, I think, sometimes promotes that error. In Romans 1:16, it says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." The gospel of Christ. "For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." This gospel of Christ is not the gospel. It's the good news of Christ and what He has done. It's not the good news of your decision. You know, it's not the good news of what you can get out of your decision. It's the gospel, the good news of what Christ has done. Look back with me in Mark chapter 1. And of course, the Lord coming out and beginning to preach, as it says here in Mark 1, the gospel. Mark chapter 1 and in verse 15. "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now won't you invite me into your heart to be your personal Savior?" Well, that's not what it says, is it? "Won't you accept me as your personal credit card to heaven? Get all you want out of me." That's the way so many times it's presented.
Right.
"Won't you open your heart's door to me?" These phrases creep in sometimes to my language. These phrases creep in sometimes in our songs.
Yeah.
Old Barnard said we'd probably get along pretty good if we could just get past the Armenian colleges and the Armenian singing. Between the two, he said I can't keep up with the error that's pumped out. "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Won't you pray the sinner's prayer with me now?" I don't know if any of you ever heard of a fellow by the name of Paris Reedhead. You maybe didn't listen to him because he's not a Baptist, but he preached a good message. 10 shekels in a shirt. And I don't get too worked up over the fact that I disagree with him on a few things. I've listened to me. And I've heard me on tape, and I disagree with me on a few things. So I don't get all that worked up about it. But he said this: "We've gotten it down to a place now, if we can get a sinner to say, uh-huh, at about 4 or 5 places. If you can get a sinner to say, uh-huh, he has no idea what you're talking about, but get him to say, uh-huh, or maybe, uh-uh. Brother Keller, you want to go to hell? And that's how we've done it. And not maybe necessarily we, but I hear sometimes this language creeping in to our conversation, my conversations. "Wouldn't you like to go to heaven?" Well, of course they would. They just don't want God there when they get there. Because it's all about having your best life now. And that's indeed what they want.
Right.
putting salvation in the hands of the sinner is not good news. Putting salvation in the hands of a sovereign Savior. Now that's good news. Not presenting God as something like Santa Claus to get out of Him whatever you want. I remember using these techniques. I remember talking with my grandfather, and I only saw my stubborn old German grandfather cry one time in my life, and that's when his mother, my great-grandmother, passed away. She was, I believe, a saved lady, and I talked to her many times, talked to him. Now, Grandpa, you're going to miss your mom. Oh, I'm going to miss her something awful. Grandpa, I know how you can be with her. And his eyes perked up. He said, how? And I began to present to him this kind of a carrot-dangling gospel message and began to talk to him about going to heaven and choosing Christ and these things. And he got angry with me. He did not want to hear anything about these things. Because, Brother Keller, they don't want to. John 3, they will not come. Because they hate the light. So the gospel of Christ. The Bible gives an authoritative command. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Turn from the direction you're going. Turn. Repent. Surrender to God. Bow before Him as King. Yield to Him as Lord. Repent and believe the gospel. I know God has to do the work in our hearts. I understand that. But it's not for me that He does that work. In Ezekiel 36, He says, you've despised my name. My name is terrible among the heathen because of you. And I'm going to restore my name. So I'm going to save some of you, give you that new heart, that fleshly heart that can respond to me. I'm going to save you for me. Yeah. That my name may be honored among the heathen. Yeah. And I got to thinking about this, and I thought maybe it would come into nice, clear focus, and folks would be encouraged if we would think about this. From the Old Testament standpoint, we read in Hebrews 4 that the gospel was preached unto them. Amen. As well as unto us. And began to think on that because of some of the questions that were asked of me. And I put together with the Lord's leadership, three Old Testament pictures. One starting in Genesis chapter 3 of how God saves His people. And it's not, again, it's not the good news of what I have done. It's not the good news of what I could do. It's not the good news of anything about me. Sorry about that. I always think of Brother Hugin. Brother Hugin said, leave your hand off that thing. And I didn't mean to do that. It's the good news of what Christ has done for me. Amen. And then I can, now that He has done this, on my behalf, I can share that with others. Barnard said it's like one blind beggar who found bread, sharing with another blind beggar where he found that bread. It's like the woman at the well, come see a man.
Yes.
Come see a man that told me everything I've ever done. He's God and He's Christ. And in Genesis chapter 3, we have an illustration here for us. Of course, after the fall, and God is pronouncing the curse, and Adam hides from God, and that's what we do. We didn't want to be around God because of our sin, because of His light. We didn't want anything to do with God. They had, of course, tried to do some things to cover themselves. That wasn't acceptable. There's no good news in the effort of their own hands. There in verse 21, and Adam said unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them?
Amen.
He clothed them, and He clothed me. The garments of salvation. He robed me in the righteousness of Christ. Isaiah 61:10. They didn't do that. They didn't decide to do that. They didn't make their decision. They didn't come to Christ. He went to them. They didn't exercise their faith and make him their personal savior. He came to them.
Amen.
And he clothed them. He covered them. Did for them through the sacrifice of a substitute, picturing Christ. It is the gospel of Christ. It is the gospel of what he has done for me. Ultimately, I'm the recipient of this amazing gift.
Amen.
It is ultimately for him and his honor and his glory. But he went to where they were. He sought them out. And he covered them. Are you covered by Christ? Are you covered with the substitutionary work of Christ on your behalf? When the Father sees you, does he see the coverings of Christ who died in your place? See, these Old Testament pictures will clear up, I think, some of the things that sometimes folks struggle with. And then we can get back to biblical language. He covered me. Can you imagine Adam when hiding from God after having tried the work of his hands to appease his conscience? And God says, Adam.
Amen.
Adam's, hiding. God in love and mercy says, Adam, come here. Come here. And he provides a covering that Adam had nothing to do with. And he covered him. And then you have, of course, Leviticus 16. We could read the whole chapter. We do not have time since Brother Titus is watching the clock. But Leviticus chapter 16. And we have here, especially between verses 7 through 10. By the way, if you're taking notes, I meant to give you Romans chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, where Paul quotes David and said, "Blessed is the man whose sin is covered."
Amen.
Blessed is that man. That's part of the first point. I meant to get that in there. The second picture we find in Leviticus 16 between verses 7 and 10, and you have the substitutionary goat, the sin goat maybe we will, and then the scapegoat. Again, the working of Christ. It is the gospel of Christ. The good news of what he has done. And I focus on the scapegoat for a second. Well, you can't even focus on both. One's a sacrifice for sin. One's a substitutionary sacrifice for sin. And one, that scapegoat that is released away. And this all is a picture of the cleansing provided by God for them. So not only did he cover them, as we see in the picture of the coats of skins for Adam, but he cleansed them. And he provided the substitute. He provided everything necessary in Christ. And then Revelation 1 said that we're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who washed us in his own blood. And of course, these things picture the work of Christ on the cross. And the death the burial and the resurrection according to the Scriptures. And the horrid penalty for sin. Provided the covering and the cleansing provided by God. I wanted to call this, He Saved Me. But Brother Gordon preached that somewhere, and I don't remember where that was. Might have been Covenant Baptist Church. He Saved Me. I had to come up with another title. Because I wanted to emphasize that He has done this. And it's not in my hands. And praise God it's not.
Amen.
Praise God it's not. He has provided for His people a covering. And that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has provided for His people a cleansing. And that is found, again, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's pictured over and over and over in the Old Testament. And He has provided for His people one who would carry us. One who would carry us. I think of the ark in Genesis 6. That amazing picture of Christ. That ark that was designed for a specific group of people. That ark that was designed to do a specific thing and house a specific number. And that ark that was provided, of course, it's a picture of Christ that God provided to carry us. Not only are we covered, we are cleansed, but then He even carries us. Praise God, it's all of Him. It is the gospel of Christ. The good news of what He has done. All that are outside the ark, destroyed by the wrath of God. Are you in the ark? Are you in Christ? That one that the ark pictures. Have you found yourself covered by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you found yourself in that blessed place that David said, "Blessed is the man whom thou will not impute sin, but is covered." Covered. And have you found yourself in the place where you've been cleansed? And now, and forevermore carried, as the ark would picture. We don't need, in my understanding of the Scriptures, to go around dangling a carrot in front of people. When we see the commands in the Scriptures, they are authoritative commands. Repent. The Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" He didn't say, "Well, invite Jesus into your heart." He didn't say that.
That's right.
He said, "Believe on Christ." It's a surrendering of everything that you're trying. It's a laboring to enter into that rest, in Hebrews 4, of Christ. It is a complete repentance or turning from my effort. My trying to work this out by my decision, or whatever phrase you want to use, it is a complete surrender of me and a complete bowing to Him. Believe Him. Believe Christ. Stop trying it on your own. Stop trying to, I forget who it was, crawl on stones and glass till your hands and palms are bloody. Stop trying all that foolishness. Stop trying to turn over a new leaf. Trust Christ. He has provided in Him, in Christ, God has provided the covering and the cleansing and that one which will carry us all the way.
We sometimes mistake promises in the scriptures. Over here to John chapter 4. I'm sorry, John chapter 5. A promise in the scripture, a statement of fact in the scripture. And we turn it into saying something man ought to do. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has, or hath, already hath everlasting life. I've already got it by the gift of God. How? He's given faith. It's a gift of God. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Whenever we reduce the gospel into a plan of man's making, I mean, there's 1,000 of them out there. 4 spiritual laws, various versions of the Romans Road and all this stuff. Whenever we reduce the gospel into a plan of man's making, it is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the good news of what that individual supposedly can do. Get him to say, uh-huh. Brother Keener says something along this line. Salvation is not in a plan of man's making. Salvation is in a man of God's choosing, the Lord Jesus Christ. In him we will find everything, and that's the good news.
Amen.
Our duty is to be like that woman at the well. And run into town, wherever town is. I don't know, Brother Collins, I don't know if there's any town. Well, I know there were sales, but where you were, I don't know how backwoods that was. But run to wherever there are folks.
Yeah.
Wherever there are folks, say, come see a man. But look, look at Christ. Do you have ears to hear? God gave them to you. If you hear, if you have the ear of faith to be able to hear the gospel call, you know, Brother Jones, I heard the gospel, and I heard the gospel, and I heard the gospel, and one day I heard the gospel. Do you have ears to hear? May God help us to stay very, very true to biblical language for this reason. It honors God. When we put salvation in the hands of a sovereign Savior, it honors God. But then for a very practical reason. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. May God help me to stay true to the biblical gospel of Christ. Brother Dan.